The Book of Daniel, Number 183. The Eternal Foundation, Christ in Prophetic History and the Believer's Faith.
The truth which Peter had confessed is the foundation of the believer's faith. It is that which Christ himself has declared to be eternal life. That truth identified two aspects of Christ. The first was that Christ is an element of prophetic history. The waymarks that represent the events of prophetic history represent Christ. His association with the events identifies the sacredness of the prophetic waymarks and provides the logic for Sister White so often saying that we must guard the waymarks, for those waymarks represent Jesus Christ. The waymark that represented the testing theme in the time of Christ was his baptism, and it aligned with other events in the sacred reform lines, distinguished by the descent of a divine symbol. In the reform line of Moses, divinity descended and abode in a burning bush, a symbol of the Creator combining with the creation. In the reform line at the end of the 70 years, Michael descended to empower Cyrus to move forward with the first decree, and at the same time Daniel was changed into the image of Christ. In the reform line of Christ, the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove to anoint God's Son, the symbol of divinity combined with humanity. In Millerite history, the angel that descended on August 11, 1840 was no less a personage than Jesus Christ, who descended with a little book that was to be eaten, and he was that little book. There he demonstrated that the combination of divinity with humanity is accomplished by eating and drinking the flesh and blood of the bread of heaven. Sacred history is sacred because it is embodied by the presence of Christ. The predictions of God's word that identify future events are Jesus Christ, for he is the Word. When those predictions are fulfilled in history, the events represent the fulfillment of his Word, and his Word is truth. It is his Word that sets forth the prediction, and it is his Word that is fulfilled when the event arrives. So at the beginning and at the ending it is Jesus Christ, for he is the Alpha and Omega. Therefore, when Peter proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ and the Son of the living God, he was identifying a waymark that was Jesus Christ and a waymark that reaches its perfect fulfillment in the last days. September 11, 2001 was the perfect fulfillment of Christ. To reject the prophetic fulfillment of September 11, 2001 is to reject Christ, the Son of the living God. That truth, expressed by Peter, was the foundation of the believer's faith, and on September 11, 2001 Christ led his last day people back to Jeremiah's old paths, which represent the foundations of the movement of the first and third angels' messages. Peter represented the 144,000 who are sealed during the period when the four angels are restraining the four winds. The sealing time is a specific prophetic period, beginning on September 11, 2001, and ending at the soon-coming Sunday law. Jesus always illustrates the end of a thing with the beginning of a thing. At the beginning of the sealing time, the angel of Revelation 18 descended, as had the Holy Spirit at the baptism, and that angel was no less a personage than Jesus Christ, for the angel that descended to lighten the earth with his glory in the Millerite history was no less a personage than Jesus Christ. At the soon-coming Sunday law, no less a personage than Jesus Christ descends again and presents the second of the two messages of Revelation 18, as he calls his other flock out of Babylon. In the middle of the period of the sealing time, an angel descended, as did the second angel descend on April 19, 1844, at the first disappointment of the Millerite movement. Between the arrival of that second angel and the arrival of the third angel on October 22, 1844, many angels were sent to add power to the second angel as the midnight crime message arrived. Speaking of the history when these angels arrived in Millerite history, Sister White informs us that those that rejected these messages had crucified Christ just as assuredly as the Jews crucified Christ.
I saw that as the Jews crucified Jesus, so the nominal churches had crucified these messages, and therefore they have no knowledge of the way into the Most Holy, and they cannot be benefited by the intercession of Jesus there. Early Writings, 261.
The messages represented by the angels, when rejected, represent the crucifixion of Christ, for he embodies the messages and their historical fulfillment. On July 18, 2020, no less a personage than Jesus Christ descended, marking the first disappointment and the beginning of the tarrying time. Slain in the streets, the dead dry bones of his last day, people were to be awakened by hearing the only voice that can bring people back to life.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5 verses 25 to 29.
In July of 2023, his voice called the dead dry bones to life, and Alpha and Omega then repeated the beginning of the sealing time, for July 2023 marks the ending period of the sealing time. His people were then again called back to Jeremiah's old paths, to the foundations of Millerite history. The foundational message of the Millerites' beginning and ending were the first and last messages of Millerite history, which was the seven times of Leviticus chapter 26. In July 2023, God's last day, people were once again commanded to take the little book and eat it. As they eat the little book, they are then tested to see if they will acknowledge the message of the third woe in Revelation chapter 9, the tidings of the east, and the message of Daniel chapter 11, the tidings of the north. The testing process leads them to verses 13 to 15 of Daniel chapter 11, which is the Battle of Paneum, which is Caesarea Philippi, and which is the message of the midnight cry, where the two classes who have heard his voice are manifested, one class that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. There are three voices in the sealing time of the 144,000, and they are all the voice of no less a personage of Jesus Christ. The first voice of Revelation 18 sounded when the great buildings of New York City were brought down by a touch from God. The second voice is the voice of Michael the Archangel, who calls the dead out of their graves. The third voice is the second voice of Revelation chapter 18 that calls his other flock out of Babylon in the hour of the great earthquake of Revelation chapter 11. The perfect fulfillment of Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi is made when Christ leads his last day people to that portion of the prophecy of Daniel relating to the last days. Paneum of verses 13 to 15 of Daniel 11 is the portion of the prophecy of Daniel that was sealed up that identifies the message of the midnight cry. Paneum is the Exeter camp meeting in August of 1844. It's a history that is fulfilled in the second term of Donald Trump, and it is the prophetic message that impresses the seal of God upon the foreheads of the 144,000. The verses we are now studying are very holy ground.
The truth which Peter had confessed is the foundation of the believer's faith. It is that which Christ himself has declared to be eternal life. But the possession of this knowledge was no ground for self-glorification. Through no wisdom or goodness of his own had it been revealed to Peter. Never can humanity, of itself, attain to a knowledge of the divine. It is as high as heaven, what canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? Job 11:8. Only the spirit of adoption can reveal to us the deep things of God, which eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 9 and 10. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and the fact that Peter discerned the glory of Christ was an evidence that he had been taught of God. Psalm 25 verse 14, John 6 verse 45. Ah, indeed, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Jesus continued, I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word Peter signifies a stone, a rolling stone. Peter was not the rock upon which the church was founded. The gates of hell did prevail against him when he denied his Lord with cursing and swearing. The church was built upon one against whom the gates of hell could not prevail.
The message Christ was presenting to his disciples at Caesarea Philippi was, and is, the message of the midnight cry, and it is placed within the context of a spiritual war between the Greek god Pan, whose temple was called the gates of hell, and the two apostate horns of the earth beast. The Maccabees were God's apostate people, who professed to be the defenders of God's church, as they were warring against the religion of the Greeks. They identified themselves as both the religious and political leaders. They represent the apostate Protestantism of those fallen churches that, with the government of the United States, are now forming an image of the beast and are warring against the globalist religion of wokeism and Mother Earth. The apostate horns prevail in their struggle with the religious and political elements of globalism, and at the same time the true Protestant horn is being purified by the removal of the last remnants of the foolish virgins in advance of being lifted up as an ensign at the great earthquake of the soon coming Sunday law. The portion of the prophecy of the book of Daniel that relates to the last days, which is also the revelation of Jesus Christ, and as the message of the midnight cry is unsealed by the Lion of the tribe of Judah at Caesarea Philippi, which is Paneum. It is unsealed in the midst of the warfare between atheistic beasts from the bottomless pit and the horn of republicanism that began to stir up that beast in 2015, and against the genuine horn of Protestantism that is now being resurrected as a mighty army. The truth that Peter confessed represents the waymark of September 11, 2001, and also that Christ is the Son of the living God. The truth of what is represented by Jesus being the Son of God is a testing truth as certainly as was whether Jesus was the Messiah or not in the days of Peter. The proclamation that Jesus is the Son of God represents everything that had been revealed of who the Son is. It represents not only that he was God's Son, but that he was also the Son of Man. It is the truth of the incarnation of divinity into humanity, which is the very work that is accomplished during the sealing time of the 144,000. The truth of the incarnation is the truth at the end that was typified by the truth of the Sabbath at the beginning. October 22, 1844 marked the arrival of the third angel. When an angel arrives, a special truth adapted to the period where the truth is unsealed is opened by the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and that truth then tests the generation where that truth is opened up. On October 22, 1844, the truths associated with the work of Christ, who suddenly came unto the temple he had raised in the 46 years from 1798 unto 1844, were revealed. Christ's work of judgment, the law of God, his role as high priest, the issue of the mark of the beast, and the sealing of the 144,000 were all opened up. Sister White was shown that of those truths, there was one truth which the Alpha and Omega identified in a special light.
I was amazed as I saw the fourth commandment in the very center of the 10 precepts, with a soft halo of light encircling it. Said the angel, "It is the only one of the 10 which defines the living God who created the heavens and the earth and all things that are therein. When the foundations of the earth were laid, then was laid the foundation of the Sabbath also." Testimonies, Volume 1, 75.
The sealing time of the 144,000 had arrived, but it was to be delayed by the rebellion of 1863. On September 11, 2001, the sealing process began when Christ, represented as the mighty angel of Revelation chapter 18, descended with a hidden book in his hand that God's last day people were to eat. The Alpha and Omega always illustrates the end with the beginning. So in the last days there was another truth that was placed in a special light, and it was directly connected to the Sabbath truth that was highlighted the first time Christ attempted to seal the 144,000.
The time has come for Daniel to stand in his lot. The time has come for the light given him to go to the world as never before. If those for whom the Lord has done so much will walk in the light, their knowledge of Christ and the prophecies relating to him will be greatly increased as they near the close of this earth's history. Those who commune with God walk in the light of the Son of Righteousness. They do not dishonor their Redeemer by corrupting their way before God. heavenly light shines upon them. They are of infinite worth in God's sight, for they are one with Christ. To them the Word of God is of surpassing beauty and loveliness. They see its importance. Truth is unfolded to them. The doctrine of the Incarnation is invested with a soft radiance. They see that the Scripture is the key which unlocks all mysteries and solves all difficulties. Those who have been unwilling to receive the light and walk in the light will not be able to understand the mystery of godliness, but those who have not hesitated to take up the cross and follow Jesus will see light in God's light. Manuscript Releases, No. 21, 406, 407.
The doctrine of the Incarnation is the truth that divinity combined with humanity does not sin, and the sign of those who have reached that experience in the last days is the Sabbath.
Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. Ezekiel 20 verse 12.
The 144,000 are sealed for eternity, and the process of the sealing identifies a short period of time at the end of the sealing process, just before the Sunday law, when the seal is impressed. In that short period of time, divinity is combined with humanity permanently.
What are you doing, brethren, in the great work of preparation? Those who are uniting with the world are receiving the worldly mold and preparing for the mark of the beast. Those who are distrustful of self, who are humbling themselves before God and purifying their souls by obeying the truth, these are receiving the heavenly mold and preparing for the seal of God in their foreheads. When the decree goes forth and the stamp is impressed, their character will remain pure and spotless for eternity. Now is the time to prepare. The seal of God will never be placed upon the forehead of an impure man or woman. It will never be placed upon the forehead of the ambitious, world-loving man or woman. It will never be placed upon the forehead of men or women of false tongues or deceitful hearts. All who receive the seal must be without spot before God, candidates for heaven. Go forward, my brethren and sisters. I can only write briefly upon these points at this time, merely calling your attention to the necessity of preparation. Search the Scriptures for yourselves, that you may understand the fearful solemnity of the present hour. Testimonies, Volume 5, 216.
The previous passage might suggest that the seal is impressed at the Sunday law, but this is not the case. Sister White is clear that the Sunday law is a great crisis, and she also teaches clearly that character is manifested in a crisis, but never developed in a crisis. The seal is impressed at the Sunday law in the sense that it then becomes visible, for those who then have the seal are lifted up as an ensign. The seal is impressed in a short period of time, just before probation closes, and for Sabbath keepers, probation closes at the Sunday law. The sealing began on September 11, 2001, and no one then received the seal of God, for as illustrated in the period of time following October 22, 1844, there was first to be a testing process. In every reform movement, when the divine symbol descends to empower the message that was unsealed at the time of the end, a testing process begins. When Michael descended to empower Cyrus to move forward with the first decree, the Jews were then tested as to whether they would leave the home they had lived in for the previous 70 years and return to a ruined city and rebuild it. When the Holy Spirit descended at the baptism of Christ, the Jews were tested on the subject of the Messiah. When the mighty angel of Revelation 10 descended on August 11, 1840, that generation was tested on whether they would eat the little book and all that the little book represented. A testing process began on August 11, 1840 that produced two classes of worshipers, and the class that followed the Lamb into the most holy place were candidates to be among the 144,000. The final test for that generation, who failed the testing process, began with the arrival of increased light upon the seven times of Leviticus 26. From 1856 unto 1863, the Laodicean message marked a final period of time in the period that began with the arrival of the third angel on October 22, 1844. That period of time is represented by verses 13 through 15 of Daniel chapter 11. We will continue this study in the next article.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1 verses 1-5, 14. This chapter delineates the character and importance of the work of Christ. As one who understands his subject, John ascribes all power to Christ, and speaks of His greatness and majesty. He flashes forth divine rays of precious truth, as light from the sun. He presents Christ as the only mediator between God and humanity. The doctrine of the incarnation of Christ in human flesh is a mystery, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, Colossians 1 verse 26. It is the great and profound mystery of godliness. The Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, John 1 verse 14. Christ took upon Himself human nature, a nature inferior to His heavenly nature. Nothing so shows the wonderful condescension of God as this. He so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3 verse 16. John presents this wonderful subject with such simplicity that all may grasp the ideas set forth, and be enlightened. Christ did not make believe take human nature, He did verily take it. He did in reality possess human nature. As the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, Hebrews 2 verse 14. He was the Son of Mary, He was of the seed of David according to human descent. He is declared to be a man, even the man Christ Jesus. This man, writes Paul, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house, Hebrews 3 verse 3. But while God's word speaks of the humanity of Christ when upon this earth, it also speaks decidedly regarding His pre-existence. The Word existed as a divine being, even as the eternal Son of God, in union and oneness with His Father. From everlasting He was the mediator of the covenant, the one in whom all nations of the earth, both Jews and Gentiles, if they accepted Him, were to be blessed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1 verse 1. Before men or angels were created, the Word was with God, and was God. The world was made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, John 1 verse 3. If Christ made all things, He existed before all things. The words spoken in regard to this are so decisive that no one need be left in doubt. Christ was God essentially, and in the highest sense. He was with God from all eternity, God over all, blessed forevermore. The Lord Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, existed from eternity, a distinct person, yet one with the Father. He was the surpassing glory of heaven. He was the commander of the heavenly intelligences, and the adoring homage of the angels was received by Him as His right. This was no robbery of God. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, He declares, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there, when He set a compass upon the face of the depth, Proverbs 8 verses 22-27. There are light and glory in the truth that Christ was one with the Father before the foundation of the world was laid. This is the light shining in a dark place, making it resplendent with divine, original glory. This truth, infinitely mysterious in itself, explains other mysterious and otherwise unexplainable truths, while it is enshrined in light, unapproachable and incomprehensible. Selected Messages, Book 1, 246-248.